On the Reliable podcast today, we turn our attention once again to the construction industry, because if you're involved in that industry, you know exactly how tough business is. Projects take a long time to complete. You need payments before the completion of the project to be able to pay all your laborers and for the various raw materials that you use, but you can't if the people who actually commission the project aren't forthcoming with the cash. And so accounting software provider Rabbit has put together a report to put its finger on exactly how bad the situation is. Simon Littlewood, these are some of the statistics that they came up with. First, 30% of respondents say that work has been delayed or stopped due to a delay in payments to crew members. One in three in the last 12 months. The survey conducted in August and September of this year. 63%, so two in three of subcontractors, chose not to bid on a project because the general contractor or the owner had a reputation for slow payments. That's very interesting that word of mouth travels so well, and two in three people say that we'd rather decline the job than to do it. And 72% of subcontractors offer a discount for payments within 30 days, which, of course, if you're the one paying the bill, you'd be very happy to receive the discount. But 72%, so almost three in four, choose to forego some of their margins just to get paid what should be on time. Good for the customer, they've saved totals of $44 billion. Perhaps not so good for the subcontractors, Simon, because obviously that's revenue that they didn't collect in the end.
Yes, I mean, what this report doesn't say is that very often subcontractors and individuals are not paid simply because the money isn't there. That's the important thing to understand.
The money is there.
It isn't there. What I'm saying is that the company you're subcontracting from doesn't have the money because whoever owns the top contract, the head contract, hasn't yet been paid by the customer. This is an industry, building is an industry which is famously undercapitalized. It's very common in building to actually put a company together to do a particular job. So you have a considerable level of churn in this industry, companies coming and going, contractors coming and going. Levels of insolvency are higher almost than in any other industry. Probably the restaurant industry is probably comparable, 20-30%. What that means is that no matter what you do, a certain percentage of companies go out of business because the money simply isn't there, yeah?
Yes. And what I also found interesting in the survey is just how many steps removed you are from that person at the top that you talked about. According to the survey, there are sometimes 5 degrees of separation between the person at the top who's ultimately going to foot the bill and the subcontractors at the very bottom of that food chain.
Yes, and the way that these contracts work is that the guy at the top has no visibility of how many other companies are actually involved. You know, everyone's committed to a specific scope of work and timing, and that is then further and further delegated down the chain, yeah?
Exactly. So, what are you to do? Given all the things that you've already laid out, the fractious nature of the industry, the fact that they come and go, and companies are set up just for the purely to set up that particular project.
Well, you know, there are two things that occur to me. The first thing is this study is written to support the sale of a particular kind of business software, let's be clear. Given that, you know, builders, contractors are generally not particularly savvy when it comes to financial organization. If you've ever been on a building site and gone into the porter cabin that they're typically sitting in, you'll see that there are piles of paper everywhere, typically. And, you know, they're kind of scrambling around trying to get you your receipt, you know, if you've delivered stuff or done work or those kinds of things. So yes, let's applaud, let's give a shout out to a simple form of software that enables a contractor who perhaps is not very tech savvy to control some of these important administrative activities. That doesn't get around the issue that if he doesn't have the money, he can't pay you. And if he doesn't have the money, he can't pay his crew, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, we've talked a lot about offering discounts to get prompt payments. Generally, we oppose that because we believe that you get paid late usually because you could or should have done something differently. And when you offer a discount, all that happens is your customer willingly takes the discount and then behaves exactly the way that they would have behaved in the first place.
Yes, which is, if I could just interject, I know that's only the first of 2 points, but that's really, really important.
Yeah.
Because that $44 billion that was saved, what's not immediately apparent is whether those subcontractors who did offer a a discount for payments within 30 days than actually got paid within 30 days.
Well, indeed, and I suspect this is a feature of the software that's being sold, which is you can apply discounts very simply based on the simplistic view that this generally helps you get paid earlier. We know that that's not true. What it does is it reduces what you ultimately collect in terms of money, but if they haven't got the money to pay you, they're going to accept the discount anyway because everybody does.
Yes, and what then usually happens is the 30-day period expires.
Yeah.
The discount is already shown on your invoice as giving you the discount.
Yeah.
30 days is over. Arguably, there should be no more prepayment discount at all, but the customer still ends up paying the reduced rate maybe after 40 days or 50 days.
Because routinely, when you're buying a complex service, and you know, in a building industry, it could be a whole range of activities, and you're offered a lower price, you take the lower price.
And then you shrug your shoulders and say, well, I'll just pay you whenever I feel
like. Terribly sorry. I don't know what's wrong with the back office. They don't seem to do anything, you know. You play both hands against the middle, but you don't refuse the discount. So generally, if you don't have a process that enables you to get paid on time, adding discounting further in order to get paid on time may well not address the issue.
Yes, which brings you to the second point you were going to make.
Well, I was going to slightly do a somersault here because it occurs to me that in an industry which is seriously undercapitalized, where perhaps some suppliers have some money but not as much money as they need to pay all their subcontractors, that maybe there could be an advantage in offering a price to get paid on time. But you'd have to be very careful about how you did that.
So how should you do that?
Well, I think we know this. It's how you manage the relationship right from the start, yeah? Because whatever term you agree as a result of that discount, you have to make sure that they stick to that term, yeah?
How can you, though?
Well, of course, at the end
of the day, you can't force them to make the payment, right?
No, but you can so manage the relationship that it is very difficult for them not to make it. I mean, in essence, that's the Riabu approach. Of course, at the end of the day, you can't force a man to sign a check.
Yes.
But you can remove all the opportunities that somebody who generally thinks of themselves as being an honest and fair person will typically avail themselves of to pay you a little bit later.
Making excuses, in other words.
Yes, it's the difference between paying the electricity bill from PUB, the one before they threatened to cut you off, and paying the first one, right?
Yes. The Public Utilities Board would be very happy if you paid your bill on time. But unlike contractors, they can just turn you off and then you're sitting in the dark. The contractors, according to the survey, I mentioned the statistic right up front, 30% can also kind of, you know, turn off the power. In other words, walk off the job.
Yeah.
And according to the survey, that's what's happened in one third of all cases. But, you know, I guess the two concerns is one, your ultimate customer isn't going to think very highly of you if the completion of the project is delayed because they've walked off the job. But on the other hand, what other choice do they have?
Well, I mean, this begs a whole series of questions. You know, I see that PricewaterhouseCoopers Working Capital Report, which we've referred to many times, talks about 51 days of DSO for the engineering construction sectors. That strikes me as being fairly good. So I'd be very interested in knowing, in fact, we've somewhere got the data on the range of DSOs that you typically get across that industry, but I'm guessing that you're going to get some companies, some outliers, who are paying in 4 or 5 months, and you're going to get others that are paying relatively quickly. Yeah?
But you get that in every industry.
Yeah.
Right?
And 4 or 5 months can be a catastrophe. I think the other thing that's important here is that there's very likely to be a significant difference between government or public-related projects and private ones. This is noticeable in the US. It's way more noticeable in Asia. In fact, I think we're going to talk about that later. Because why? Well, because money, public money, and we talked about this in the context of paying utilities in a county in the US a couple of weeks ago. At the end of the day, you have to collect the money from taxpayers. The money comes in typically in tranches. You know, when you send out your tax bill, you get the money. So cash flow is very uneven in the public sector if it's not well managed, and typically it isn't, and it can often lead to very significant delays in big payments, particularly project payments for major engineering or building projects.
So if it's a government financier of a construction project, they might actually take longer.
Well, I think the thing to look for there is, first of all, as in any situation, you need to make sure that you have a clear agreement in terms of when you're going to be paid. But if you're savvy, you might like to pay attention to how they've typically paid in the past and to the realities of their cash flow. Because again, people often sign contracts with the best will in the world, but at the end of the day, they're not going to pay you with their own money. You know, if the money isn't in the bank, they won't pay you.
Yes.
And there are things that you can do ahead of time, such as arranging interim finance, so you can keep your company going. That's very important. We recommend doing that only if you do it as part of a planned process. That is, if you're on the back foot and you've suddenly run out of money, and then you have to borrow money, it's going to be A, hard, and B, expensive.
Yes.
But by looking at a realistic view of how long it takes a certain kind of supplier to pay you, you can plan your balance sheet and plan your cash flow so that you can ensure that you have the facilities available to plug the gap, should there be one, yeah? If you do that ahead of time, if you have a strong balance sheet, you can avoid some of these issues, yeah?
Let's conclude where we started, which is the fact that 2 in 3 subcontractors chose not to bid on a project due to a general contractor or owner's reputation of slow payments. Clearly, it's going to get expensive for the general contractor because those 1 in 3 who are still willing to work with them either don't know their reputation or will jack up their prices. So, and you did also mention, Simon, right up front, that it really starts at the top. So what can you do as a supplier, as a contractor in the construction industry to influence not your immediate customer, but the person at the top, you know, 5 degrees removed,
well,
in order to actually cascade the cash down the value chain?
At the end of the day, you're dependent on the liquidity of the company that you contract for. So look at their history, first of all. Second, have a very clear agreement, and this is very important, and you and I deal with this, that they will pay you irrespective of whether or not they've been paid. This is terribly important because how many times have we been in situations where we have a clear agreement, but we can't pay you because our customer hasn't paid us?
Yes.
I don't care whether your customer has paid you or not. That's none of my business.
Yes.
So you need to call out explicitly in the contract that you have a commitment to pay me within a specified period of time, irrespective of how your supplier has behaved towards you, and you need to call that out. If you're clever about that, and if that's worded right, it might put you ahead of everybody else. You know?
And so you have a chance of being first in line.
First in line to get paid.
Yep. Thank you, Simon.